Hello there, you. Before we get into this week's episode of The Poor and Old Men, we just wanted to make a quick amendment to something that was discussed in the episode last week. While we're tasting the rather delicious spilt milk, choc milk stout from Work Entitled Brewery, there was a bit of conjecture between us about whether Work Entitled were independent or were owned by Newstead. We very kindly had Luke from Work Entitled reach out to give us a correction, and we do appreciate that. So Work Entitled are independently owned. They're not run in conjunction with Newstead. They're just run as a gypsy operation from the Newstead brewery at this stage. So sorry for the mix up there, Luke and the team at Work Entitled, and thank you very much for the delicious beer. We can't wait to try more of your beers in the future. Hello, you. It's time once again to pour one out with The Pouring Old Men. My name is Russell, and joining me today, he's hot like wasabi when he busts rhymes, is Warren Crawford.
G'day, mate. How you going?
I'm good. Pity is not with us today. He has left us to join the European Super League podcast, much like his beloved Liverpool.
Yes. I actually heard he'd come down with a case of deep sour thrombosis.
Blocking his knee joints, can't get off a couch or something like that.
Too much sour in the veins.
And how are you, Woz? It's a weird one, me and you here, no pity. It's almost like the in-laws meeting each other.
Kind of. Yeah, it is kind of a bit strange, yeah.
So if there's any awkward silences during the podcast, you.
Sorry, how's about that local sports team? Well, you know, it was a lovely drive down here to Sydney to get to your house.
Yes, so, absolutely. Yeah. You should have taken the monorail to get here, mate. Would have been quicker.
Mono. Yeah, we'll switch over to what is it, North Haverbrook,
Ogdenville.
Anyway.
Who are we? We are The Pouring Old Men, just a couple of old-timers sitting on the back porch talking about the beers we love. We release fresh episodes out into the world every Tuesday morning on all your favourite podcast providers, and you can find us on social media on Pouring Old Men at Facebook, Pouring Old Men at Instagram, and Pouring Old Wazza, Pouring Old Pity, and Pouring Old Russ.
That's right. Probably even some of the podcast places you don't like listening to.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of my least favourite ones are probably Google, because it takes too long to get up on the website. But it's probably more my issue, because I'm too late submitting it than doesn't get there in time. So.
A good worker never blames himself.
I will point out as well, we're recording at a different location. We're at Casa de Rus today rather than El Grotto de Pity.
El Grotto.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I do have a couple of cockatiels flying around. So if you hear some low-flying birds, I was going to say, this sounds like a nightclub thing, some low-flying birds or something like that. But we've all picked up low-flying birds back in the day.
I was going to say, isn't it that joke? Like, I could eat the crutch out of a low-flying bird.
Pretty much, yeah. So if you're not careful, you might eat the crutch out of a low-flying cockatiel instead. Anyway, Wazza, what have you been drinking?
What haven't I been drinking? I do have a bit of a list.
Excellent.
I've been getting into it a little bit.
Yep.
Too much. I went back into the classic catalogue and tried some of the ones that I actually haven't tried before. Happened to pick up a Sunny Boy Sour, the original. From Hope Estate. I do, it's a great beer, but I do think Volume 2 is a better beer.
Now, Volume 2, is it the lemon lime one?
Pine Lime.
Yep.
Both good beers, but, you know, it does outshine at the second one, so.
Yeah. I must admit, I'm probably too much of a wuss to pick up either of those. I dabble in my sours every now and then, but something that promotes itself as being a hardcore sour, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, it's kind of like, if you remember when you were a kid, you know the Warheads?
Yes.
You used to buy from the general store?
Yep.
Yeah, it's like those.
Yeah, yeah, never enjoyed them. The most disappointing with them thing with those, I tried to trick my dad into having one. I thought, Dad, have one of these strawberry flavored. It's one of those super sour strawberry ones. And he popped in his mouth. He ate it like it was just like it was a minty, basically. No effect, no reaction, nothing. He made it, it was a bit sour. And then just carried on. I was like, well, damn.
Yeah. Well, that backfired.
Exactly. That was a letdown.
That reminds me of a story. A good friend of mine, he'll never let me forget this. We used to work together, and at the time I had this little container of the sugar replacement things, like the stevia or whatever they're called.
Equal and that sort of stuff. Yeah,
it was like Equal or something like that. And they had the little tablets. And I was stuffing around, like me and my usual smart ass self. I've gone, do you want a mint? And he's gone, yeah, no worries. So I give him one. He's thrown it in his mouth. And then the it wasn't so much what happened to him. Mm. It was the fury of swear words that came out of his mouth towards me. He wasn't very pleased with me.
I thought you got hit like allergic reaction to something like that, and you know,
no,
went to anaphylactis or something like that.
That probably would have been a very different story. Anyway, moving on. I also tried the Dark Harvest, which is a fresh hop black IPA from Bridge Road Brewing. We were speaking about in one of the recent podcasts. That was a really good drop.
Yeah,
yeah. I've still got a spare can, so I'll see if I can.
Excellent.
Hook you up.
Yeah. No, I was definitely curious about that one. So
yeah, it's
it's also a good name as well. There's something about Dark Harvest. It's just a great name.
Yes. Look. Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's got a good ring to it.
Yep.
Yeah. I also tried the Need Volume 3 from Bridge Road.
Yep. Now you've collected the set so far, haven't you?
I have.
You've
done all three. The whole set. Yep. Look, the idea is they're trying different hops as they go.
Yes.
And it was a great beer. But if you're comparing it to the other two,
mm.
it was okay.
Yeah,
it didn't
yeah.
stand out.
Now, this one, what style was this one?
It was a hazy. With Idaho 7, Laurel, and Citra hops.
What was number two? Number two was a...
I can't recall.
Yeah, was it? Because there's a Nipah or Juicy similar to the hazy already. So, yeah. This is the whole thing. I don't know what the difference is between a hazy and a juicy and a Nipah. And I bet most people don't either, but they're too afraid to say it.
Yes, yeah. I think you're right. But hey, you know, whatever it's called, it's good beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was it that line from Tropic Thunder? It's like, I don't know what it's called, but I just know the sound it makes when it kills. And the last one that I've got was called Inner Vision from Wolf of the Willows.
Ah, yes.
Which is a DDH hazy IPA.
Yeah.
I guess I kind of have expectations when it comes to Wolf of the Willows.
Yeah.
And it was a great beer, but it didn't stand out.
Yep.
I think it was a really great version of that style.
Yep.
But I think there's so many DDH hazies out there at the moment and DDH IPAs and
all that sort of stuff. Trouble with the craft beer market at the moment is that there's so many variations of the same thing. It's hard to stand out. Unless you're doing something completely different or something exceptionally well, you're not grabbing attention. And I find myself, different beers I get. So it's not that much better than what I just had. Or it's not that much different unless you're really, dialing down to the intricacies of the various hops or whatever like that. It's very close. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of think it's like you only stand out if you're either exceptionally good, which is incredibly difficult to do, I think, in a hazy or an IPA range these days, or if you're exceptionally bad.
Yep.
Everything else kind of just sits in the middle.
Yeah.
But again, like, good beer, was happy with it.
Yeah, absolutely. If it all still tastes good, no dramas. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of others that probably aren't really that exciting aren't worth mentioning, but that's kind of what I've been into recently.
Like Melbourne Bitter and Furphy. VB. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Actually, did you see that video of that Pommy guy that does the beer reviews? He tried a VB.
I haven't watched that yet, but because I watch that guy all the time, but I haven't watched that VB because I know you sent it to us, but I haven't actually stopped and watched that yet. No.
His critical error was that he had it warm.
Well, I mean, the critical error would that he had it at all.
Well, yeah, I think someone's probably sent it as a joke, but there is a lot of people that drink VB like and Carlton Draft Tui's for some reason. So it's a drinkable beer, but it needs to be in the right setting. Australia, you need to have it cold.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, you experience too much of the flavour.
another good one that is real ale craft beer's name is Chandler. Another good one. Someone sends in like a home brew beer, and as he pops the top, the thing explodes everywhere. And it's just worthwhile looking at this guy's reaction. He's like, literally like daring headlines going, what the hell was that? In his glass, there's a tiny little bit of foam in the glass. Well, I can't taste that now.
Yeah. I was lucky it didn't explode on the way over.
No, exactly. It was primed and ready to go, and it unleashed. Yeah. It was quite funny.
It's a problem with those home brews. They are like hand grenades sometimes.
Exactly.
What about you? What have you been into?
So I had a few this week. So I had, it's all the rage at the moment, the old Fresh Harvest and Fresh Hops. So I had Brouhaha Fresh Harvest IPA. It's nice. That's about it. Like it wasn't doing anything that spectacular. It was nice. It tasted fresh. It was clean. Is there a squadron of cockatiels fly overhead once more?
It's doing an aerial display.
Always, was the line from Top Gun, you know, you don't have permission to buzz the tower.
Yeah.
And they're always buzzing my tower. But yeah, so the Fresh Harvest stuff, I like the Fresh Harvest stuff, but a lot of the time it's not that far different from the normal sort of IPA. So, yeah. But yeah, it was nice. It was clean. It was good.
Yeah.
Then I had my first ever Dunkin's beer as well.
Oh yeah. What did you think?
It was Cream de Peche Milkshake IPA. It was good.
See, I can see what the issue is already. Can I make it? Like,
go on.
Can I guess?
Yeah, absolutely.
You bought a Dunkin's thinking it was going to be fantastic, but you also selected a milkshake IPA, which you notoriously don't like.
That's right.
So what happened?
I liked the peach part of it, but the milkshake lactose part, I wasn't much of a fan. Evidently, yeah. I got up on my beer dealer, and like, the place is so tiny and small, and I'm a fairly large human being, and I struggle to get through the shop, and I feel a bit claustrophobic, so I panicked. I called Dunkin's, I'll grab that. Didn't really look exactly what it was, but it was fine. It was nice and peachy. It was nice, but yeah, the aftertaste of lactose was just a bit strong.
Yeah.
But
hopefully it doesn't put you off trying some of the other ones.
No, absolutely. I'll still be keen. I'm trying to plan a trip to New Zealand, so trying to work out how I can get past Dunkin's on the way to Hawke's Bay. So, yeah. Which means I have to fly into Wellington, but that might happen. also, I mentioned the other week, one I was looking forward to, Newstead Brewing Vampire Lovers Red IPA.
Oh, yeah.
I love that beer. It's just a really good, spicy, sort of syrupy red IPA. Really good.
Yeah.
Even though it is in the smaller cans, but it means I've just bought four of them instead of one. So. And now, interestingly, I had Ballistic Bunker Project, the farmhouse IPA. This is just released their new sort of wild fermentation and aging sort of label on the Bunker Project, and it was interesting. It comes in a big ass 750ml bottle, so it's not one you can have a dozen off a night, but that's not what it's for. But it's got a real sort of funkiness to the palate there. It's completely different from anything I sort of had before. So. And it's hard to explain, hard to compare to anything, because I haven't had anything like it. But like I said, it just had this real sort of almost a wheaty barley kind of like flavor to it. And like I said, it's just a real sort of deep, like I said, a funkiness start to it. And sip away from that. It was enjoyable. Surprisingly not boozy. I suppose when I get when you get a big fancy bottle like that, you expect it to be quite strong, but it's only like about 4.6%. So it's not like I polished off the bottle and then I was wobbly boot afterwards. It was just enjoyed that one for the night. And it's similar to just drinking like a bottle of wine during the night. So they have a few glasses and top it up. Interested to see what else they have coming out from that one.
It's an interesting, it's kind of a separate topic, but I overheard one of the guys in the bottle shop talking about sours.
Yep.
And I really don't know much about the science behind it. Like chuck in some yeast and some yogurt, I don't know. And obviously I'm joking, but out comes a sour at the end of it.
Yep.
But there is a difference between your aged sours and your... kettle sours.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know there was this whole segregation.
No, that's right.
The lambic, the reason they're so expensive is that they age them for 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
It's to get that sourness out of it, whereas the kettle sour, it's done in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So.
And then as Shane at Happy Valley was saying the other week, is that South Philly yeast that sours it straight away. But then I've seen some things online, people have issues with that as well, so it's an interesting process, line of beers, really.
Anyway, that's probably a bit too sciencey for this podcast.
We hate trying to sound educated or anything like that, so
I did say I overheard it from a guy running a bottle shop, so.
The other one I mentioned as well, the heads in the week, was Peachy Cheeks from Counterculture Stony Wood.
Very good.
It was the Peach Bellini Sour.
Yes.
That was really nice.
Yeah.
It has a nice level of tartness, sourness. So, like I said, a wuss lot myself when it comes to sours, it was good. Just bursting with peach and mango and apricot and just all the sort of stone fruit sort of flavors coming through. And it was quite enjoyable, actually. So, I think you can still get some around, maybe. But
That's the tough thing about the counterculture stuff is it's near impossible to get hold of.
That's it, and I think bottle shops have been burnt occasionally by getting some of this stuff and it sits around and doesn't move.
Mm.
And so when the stuff that comes around that is, you know, good and people are interested in it, they don't have it. So I ended up getting this one online. So thankfully you had that option. Otherwise, I would have missed out.
Yeah.
I'm also hoping, because they had a thing online a little while ago on Instagram, because this is the 11th release in Counter Culture.
Mm.
They had a vote between the top 10 or the first 10. And I believe whichever one would come back as the next release.
Oh, yes.
So if it's not Sticky Nectar Mango IPA that was the second or third one along the line, I'm rioting. That's my favorite of my favorite one of theirs, and it's absolute banger.
Earl as well. Or Hello Darkness. That's another good one.
Hello Darkness.
Probably wasn't unique enough.
It didn't do well me. Earl as well was fine, but I think the Sticky Nectar was the standout. What's the French Toast one? It'd be rude not to.
I don't think I tried that one.
That was French.
Obviously, it would be rude not to.
That was quite nice, but again, the Sticky Nectar.
Well, I like that. Mm. You know, and we've spoken about this before. The issue I have with these limited edition beers is you manage to pick up one at the bottle shop and then it's gone, it's disappeared.
Yep, that's it. Yep. And they might bring it back later, but they might not.
So, Russell, what have you bought us?
So, I mentioned before I had one of the Bunker Project beers from Ballistic the other day. I also got the other one here with us today. The one next one we have here is called Graft, and it's a Grisette.
I have no idea what a grisette is.
Neither do I.
I'm excited to try
it. I know one thing. This will be the best grisette I've ever had.
Yeah. That's true.
And I've got it in my head that's called a griselle. And so I'm linking griselle and gazelle. I've got that in my head. But no, it's grisette.
Grisette, yeah.
So popular opinion seems to be this was the better of the two. But then who knows? Cool. It's also the first time we've had to use a bottle opener for a beer on the show as well.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, did we have to use one for that BrewDog?
The BrewDog, you might have actually. Yeah. So this is the second time we've had a bottle opener.
I think.
All right. It's a big 750ml bottle, so.
Often referred to as a long neck in the old.
Long neck, yep.
It's quite light and pale in colour.
Yeah.
And it's got a good head on it.
Very sort of hazy and cloudy as well, so. Yeah, it does come up with a big... It's got a good inch of head on that one as well. And they haven't started doing their fancy swirl.
Yeah.
So,
it's got a really interesting smell about
it. It's got a real... Again, I keep using the word. Got a real sort of that funky sort of earthiness.
Yeah.
It
really embellishes that grisette scent, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every time I come across a grisette is what I come across. So it says a modern grisette interpretation co-fermented with saccharomyces and 6 Brettanomyces. They're just making up words now.
Yeah.
Late hopped with Pacifica and Hallertau tradition. There you go.
Yeah. That's not as funky as I was expecting from
it's quite lively. It's very well sort of carbonated. It's like there are lots of little sparkling bubbles. It's almost like drinking like a really fizzy sparkling wine. It's got that sort of texture to it.
And I think that really helps open up the character of it as well. It is a really complex.
It is. There's like a bit of almost like hay kind of that wheaty hay kind of flavor to it. And it's like the other one, it's different from anything I've sort of tried before. So this is heading to new territory. So.
It is quite bitter.
Mm. I'm not getting much bitter. I'm finding it's almost like a lime zest or lemon zest kind of. They've got the raw sort of pop of like the citrusy zest at the end sort of thing.
The more that I take in the smell of it, the more it's kind of in contrast with the flavour.
Yes, yeah.
And you were right, I guess, before when you were describing the other one where it was quite dank.
Yep.
I get that dankness from a smell, but not necessarily from a taste. But it is interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And there's a lot of these sort of barrel-aged, wild fermented beers coming through the market at the moment. And I'm really curious. There's this whole new side of beers that I've never explored. So
yeah, and that's kind of what I like. Like, these guys are doing different stuff.
Yep.
And like, Grisette's probably been around as a style since the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
I've no idea, but you know, it's these breweries that are going back, going, we've crushed our stouts and our IPAs and our lagers. Let's go out and explore beer in a grander scale and see what we can come up with, which I really like.
The back end of the flavor. This, I don't mean this to sound bad or anything. It's like when you drink a glass of soda water, you get that kind of. It's almost like a blank of flavour, but with like bubbles at the end. It's a bit like it's got that sort of texture at the end.
Yeah,
like, and I'm not saying that, I don't mean that as a dig on it, but it's just got that sort of impression on the palate. So,
Well, actually, do you know what it reminds me of is flavoured soda water?
Yeah.
You know how, like, so my wife drinks Deep Spring, which is on the shelves in the supermarket.
Yep.
And it's like it's a lightly flavoured soda water as opposed to your soft drinks, essentially.
Yep.
It's kind of like that, where it's got plenty of flavor, but it's got this real crispness from the carbonization.
Yeah.
Carbonation.
Carbonation.
It's far out. Look at me trying to sound professional.
And again, I said this about a few different beers on the show as well, is that it's probably not a good beer for this style of sitting down, reviewing it and tasting it. Like, this is a sit on the couch, put it on a movie, maybe watch Falcon of the Winter Soldier or something like that, and sit there sipping away.
Yeah,
that's what I did with the first one.
Yeah.
So. but yeah, it's sit there. Yeah. You have you top it up like a wine. You just sip away, and it's an enjoyable beer experience.
Yes,
it's fun to explore these new horizons these breweries are putting out in front of us. So
yeah, and I think it's not a beer that you'd get out at dinner,
no,
because you just wouldn't get to experience the profile of it against your food.
Yep.
It's not a beer that you would get at a bar, because nobody wants to order a 750ml bottle.
No, and
at the bar, but
especially when it's between the $20-$25 mark, buying one bottle, you're not exactly you are going to buy a round of them for everyone. But it would be a good if you're having a barbecue. At the end of the night, crack open one of these and you have a glass, share it around with everyone, and you cheers, clink, no worries. Mm. It's kind of the end of night social sort of beer, I suppose.
Yeah, like a celebration.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost like a celebration ale.
Absolutely.
It's a shame Pity's not here for this one.
I was considering not holding back when he's around, but I don't know where that's going to be. I'm not going to sit on it for long enough.
Yeah.
If I did that, I'd end up drinking it by myself. And
yeah, it's not going to last in the fridge long enough. Yeah. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke about the $50 slab. I'm not sure if I mentioned it on the podcast. I definitely told you guys. I bought a carton from Bridge Road Breweries. It was $50 plus postage. And it was 24 mislabeled beers.
Yep.
It arrived this week, and I haven't cracked into it yet. But I got some crackers in there.
Really?
Right? Yeah, a handful of... I think I got 6 cans of their hoppy sour ale.
Yeah.
I got 4 or 6 bottles of their Saison.
Yep.
I got, and I also got a handful each of their Autumn Posse release and their Summer Posse release.
Because I was assuming it'd be mislabeled, like, core range and basic sort of stuff, but it's a few sort of more,
unusual
top of range stuff. Yeah, nice.
And it wasn't stuff that had been sitting in the warehouse for donkey's years either.
Yep.
It was fairly recent stuff. So I was really pleased with it. So I'm looking forward to cracking into that a little bit.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. That's good. A good get then.
Mm, yeah.
All right. So score. This is going to be a hard one to score, I find. But that's you got any numbers in mind?
Yeah. Look, I'm going to give it a 4. It's a strange beer to drink. It's complex and it makes you think.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot of character.
Mm.
And it's something different as well, I think. So
yep.
I'm going to say, kudos to Ballistic
for
trying something different. But I'm happy with a 4.
Yeah, I'm doing the same. I'm doing a 4 for pretty much all those reasons. Well, it's something different, it's something new. There's always a chance you do something new. We take a sip and like, oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not. It's really nice. It's kind of comforting in a way. Mm. And it's got me really excited, what else they're going to come out with and... I know they got a whole bunch of different barrels and stuff in their bucket as well. So they've got more lined up coming soon. But this is only the first sort of toe in the water, I suppose. So,
yeah.
But I'm comfortable with the 4 of that. It's It's a nice and it's a good fun exploration of something new.
Yeah.
All right, time now for beer number two in Show and Tell. And Warren, what have you brought to the class?
I've got something a little bit different this week.
Mm-hmm.
I wandered into Liquor Legends, Stafford Tavern, the other day, and noticed they had a range of Bodrigi beers.
Yep.
Which I'm told are from Abbotsford in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is a Cosmic Microwave Nipa.
Yep.
And it looks interesting.
Yeah.
You know, 6.2%, 1.7 standards. I thought it'd be interesting to try some of their stuff and
yeah.
get an idea on what they're all about. Because I've heard a bit about them.
Yep.
But I don't think I've ever tried one of their beers, so.
I've had a couple of their beers. I think it's around Christmas time, Ballistic were showcasing some of the beers that are helping out breweries that have been affected during lockdown.
Mm.
And they had, what was it? It was something funny. It's called Good Thanks and You or something like that. It was a weird name one. It was really, really nice. So don't think I had this one. I can't remember.
Mm. It's certainly interesting. Like the packaging, unusual, but it doesn't necessarily jump out off the shelf.
They've got a very sort of weird and warped sense of humor, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, there's a hand with red fingers.
Yep.
There's a pyramid. There's some guy that's looking like he's wearing a 70s velour suit and an all-seeing eye and all sorts of things on here. So it's interesting.
Mm.
I'll read out the spiel on the back. Wander beyond the black stump of reality for long enough. The universe gives you a wink and lets you in on a few secrets. Like this little beauty. Cloudy and dense. It traps in flavor like a black hole. Crack it open. Get sucked in. Nice.
So the color of the beer is almost almost like an orangey kind of sort of color. It's very, freshly squeezed orange juice kind of look to it.
Mm. Not much in the way of a head on it.
No. Especially compared to the I nearly call it gazelle. Grisette.
Compared to the gazelle, yes. It's got an interesting smell about it.
It's almost like a bit of a sort of grapefruit kind of smell.
Yeah.
So it's that sort of citrus bitterness.
Oh no, that's different.
Wow, that's trying to pick what that flavor is.
Yeah, it's almost like there's almost like grapefruit, melon, and penicillin or something. You know,
it's almost tastes like pine needles.
Yeah, there's
that real. Yeah, I don't think it's unpleasant. it's kind of when I describe things all the time as like, you know, grassy and stuff like that. It's not necessarily slider. It's just what brings up connotations of.
It's a really interesting smell.
It's got a whole different plateau of flavors from what you get from most nipas. Like
it does, yeah.
Well, that mouthful I just had a whole sort of that orange rind kind of flavor to it.
Yep.
I saw a bit of like the pine needles and that side of things to it as well. And
there's
a lot of different flavors to unpack with that one. And that smell is completely different from the taste. Like it's what's given off from, you know, giving the old swirl is different from the actual taste with it. So
yeah,
it's really interesting.
It is. It's
Romo. Did it say what hops it used?
Not that I noticed. No, it's really unusual.
Yeah.
I think I like it, but because it's different, like it is really unique.
It's very different from most nipas, and it's sort of you need to like recalibrate your taste buds and your thought pattern of what you expect from a nipa to be. Like it's not, you know, passion fruit, mango, ditto, you know, same old bloody same. Like we said at the top that a lot of these beers don't stand out from being different.
Yeah.
This one does.
It does, yeah. I would say it's not a session beer. It is quite heavy. Like I would struggle having several.
It's got quite a thickness to it. Like again, contrasting to the Bunker Project beer, they had the real liveliness with the carbonation. It really, you know, popped around your mouth. This is quite sort of lowly carbonated and sits quite heavy there. But then it follows through. It's got quite a heavy bitterness at the end.
Yeah,
like really. Yeah. Now they've had a few mouthfuls as well, that bitterness is really layering on now, so.
Yeah.
There
is a strange flavour and smell in it, and I can't pick what it is.
Mm.
But it's definitely sets it apart, that's for sure. Yeah, this isn't like the packaging at Coles that don't tell you their ingredients.
So the more I go on, the more is leaning on the bitter side rather than the citrus. It's kind of...
Mm, yeah.
That may be because I've over-swirled and overshaken it. I've spoiled the beer. Yeah. I keep doing that.
It's basically flat.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I keep swirling around the glass and I turn it into ricotta cheese or something. Yeah. Turn it into butter.
Can you do that?
I don't know. I'll let them in 5 minutes when I keep doing that.
I have heard of beer buttered fries, though.
Beer buttered fries? Thy dad jokes are strong with thee.
Yes. It's an important part of being a father. And now I'm confused again. I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, I don't know where to place it. It's well, score wise, it's I'll probably give it a 3.
Mm.
Which at the start when I first started drinking it, I was probably closer to a 4 and looking right. And now it's kind of
it's settled a bit
and it's lost kind of that like that fruitiness to it.
Yeah,
And now it's more that sort of like bitter. It's not unpleasant. It's just a bit. It's a little all over the place, I suppose. Mm. Like it's, at one point, it's like I said, it's got the pine needles and grapefruit and orange and stuff, and then it kind of devolves down to like the bitter kind of. Yeah, and it's still nice, and it's, and it's a good, interesting beer to drink, especially as it changes as it goes down the glass. But yeah, I'll give it a 3.
Yeah. And look, I think I'm probably on the same page.
Mm.
I give it a couple of points for uniqueness and a different standout in the NEPA market.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm being hypocritical by saying I want NEPAs to be different and not be the same. And we get one, and then I give it a 3. But it's
It's it is really tough, though, isn't it?
Like, it is. And
what makes a good NEPA?
It just comes down to drinkability and
Could
I have more than one of them? Maybe not.
Mm. I think I would struggle, I think.
If I had a 4-pack in the fridge, I'll have one and then, okay, then I'll want something else next.
Yeah.
I'll still come back a couple of days later and have another one, but yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's... I'm happy with a 3.
Yeah. And I'd still... people want to try it, definitely try it, because it's a really interesting beer.
If you're looking for something different in the NEPA range, absolutely, give it a go.
Yeah.
And look, I guess... Same as what we were talking about before. I'm keen to try some of their other beers just to sort of see what uniqueness that they bring to those beers as well.
Yeah. Mm. And the other one I did try of theirs was the Good Thanks Yourself, it was called.
Yeah.
Mm. And that was I believe it's double dry hop pale from memory.
Mm.
I could have that completely wrong. It could have been a stout. Who knows? But I'm going to go with double dry hop pale. And that was really nice. And that was, again, more traditional sort of hazy, fruity kind of. Double dry hop beer. And that's really nice as well. So they do turn out really good beers. And this is a good beer. It's just I'm confused of whether how much I like it.
Yeah.
I suppose. Yeah, so I was sitting on the fence, so and 3 is my fence sitting score.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree with you.
All right, and a rare treat. We're going for a 3-peat of show and tell today.
Mm-hmm.
Was has brought a little extra something.
I have.
What have you got for us?
Mystery bonus beer.
Yep.
I got the Double Scoop Double Oat Cream IPA from Revel Brewing.
Yep.
It sounded really interesting. I had to pick it up off the shelf. So,
yes.
Yep.
Now, this is the sequel to the Oat Cream IPA they released in conjunction with Corumban. Is this with Corumban as well, or is this on their own?
I believe it's on their own.
Okay. Which I think me and Pity did going back to last year at some point. Mm.
No mention of Corumban on this one.
No, they ditched them and up the alcohol, so.
Yes, so give it a go.
Unless it's cracking. I've got to throw it at least once an episode. Yeah. if I don't use it, the trademark expires on it, and then Disney will snap it up.
We can't have that. the big brother to our Oat Cream IPA, this beer takes it up a notch. Brewed and malted oats and oat milk for the ever luscious mouthfeel and haze. It's jam packed.
Jam packed, I thought.
Yeah, apparently it's jam packed with our favourite hops for that juicy flavour we've all grown to love.
There might be a discount off the score for bad grammar on that one.
Oh, yeah, maybe they're paying per letter.
Yeah, that could be a point.
Yeah, it's very wordy. So
It's the sort of shambles you get from that sort of place that does a shoddy podcast like this.
And it's shots across the bow.
To clarify, if you're wondering why I'm bagging out their podcast, is that in the podcast championships, at the time of recording, we're going up against them.
Yes.
And they just conveniently released the beer the same week and got a new podcast out.
I think, you know what I think it is?
What is that?
I think they heard that the new kids on the block were smashing.
They saw that we obliterated Hey Brew Podcast, never heard of them. Last week we got a win on the board and I thought, you know what, we better throw a beer out there and we better make it a collab with someone else to double our audience to knock us over. And well, we don't know the result, we kind of know the result. Yeah.
We've got a sneaking suspicion.
They only release a episode of the podcast when they release a new beer, and so I was hoping, please, for God's sakes, don't release a new episode of the podcast. And what did they do? They did.
Yeah,
bastards.
Well, look, you know, it's we're going to play the long game. That's what it's all about.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Anyway, on to their beer. We'll judge harshly.
Giving it a one. I'm a smell to the taste and giving it a one. Tastes bitter, like sour grapes.
This is awful. You guys need to take some tips from Moondog. This is terrible.
Come on to our show next week and we'll tell you all about it.
It's a standing invite. It's got a very fruity smell about it.
It does. It really does. It does smell a lot like the original oat cream. It's got that very clear oat cream taste, which was, at the time, that was my first ever oat cream beer I've ever had. Okay. So there's like the template for that I base all my oat cream tastings on. That's incredibly smooth. It's smooth, but you get like kind of there's a booze burn at the back. It's soft and light and it's sort of like, you know, just goes through the mouth really easy. But then there's this little
That's what she said.
I'll ignore that.
Yeah, it's got a really, like, I mean, maybe I'm describing it wrong, but a really bitter finish on the end of it.
Mm.
But it's not overly far out, the beers have hit me.
It wasn't such a good idea during the third
beer,
was it?
No. lactosey. You know, there's not that real lactose flavour about it that I picked up so far.
I must admit, I've come to a point recently that I don't know where I stand on oat cream beers.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of like them, but then I kind of don't. Mm. I'll have them, I'll drink them, but there's the weird taste with them, and I don't know whether I like it or not. So I'm not sure where I stand on it. And this tastes like an oat cream, so it's not helping me resolve my inner...
probably not, no.
My inner confusion.
The other thing to think about is that some poor bloke at Revel has sat there for hours trying to milk oats.
They got very small nipples, I believe.
You can milk anything with nipples.
And who knows, what's the difference between a male oat and a female oat? If you're trying to milk a male oat, well, you'll be there all day.
Maybe that's what the bitterness is at the end.
I think it's terrible that we're this far into the podcast and we haven't backed our bitter yet, by the way.
I know.
Well, what are we doing?
Yeah, look, that's on us.
I think most people agree. It's probably the best podcast we've had since the Happy Valley special.
Yes.
When he wasn't there as well.
Yeah. Noticing a trend here.
Yeah, I know. It's the quality's gone up, you know. It's a lot. There's a rate through the roof.
Yeah. Look, the only problem is next time he's on the podcast, he's going to be very short with us.
He doesn't listen. I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen to the podcast.
That's incredibly hurtful.
Yeah. In fact, listen, Pity, the code word is Casablanca. All right, there we go.
Yeah.
If he comes up, what's Casablanca? Then
we know.
Then we'll catch him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, on the next episode, we should just say, okay, to progress on to trying the beers, Pity, can you give us the code word? It'd be a very short podcast.
Well, we just won't hear much from Pity. Like, we'll just test it ourselves, so we'll be fine.
That's two jokes I've made about him being short, and you haven't reacted at all.
We've hung around the same circle of friends for a while, me and Pity.
Yeah.
And everyone else cracks jokes. I refuse to crack jokes about him being short. It's just, I don't want people cracking jokes about me being, you know, a big fat guy, so I won't crack jokes about him being a short. So that's why I stay away from it. And it gets old very quick, so I like to mix things up.
There's not a lot of depth to it, really, is there?
I mean, there's a book of short jokes, but it's very small.
It's the height of ignorance.
We'll definitely find out if you listen to the podcast now.
Actually, if he does, I'll give him some ammo, right? So when I used to work with these guys, and one of them used to call me the building, right, because of my height.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not because you're built like a brick house? And
No.
Okay. You have plenty of entrances and exits?
There's one lift that goes up and down. No, and he used to also say that my teeth were almost like buildings as well. Because I've got like these big like top front teeth.
Yep. So, did you have braces growing up?
No.
You have exceptionally straight teeth.
Thank you. It's a fluke.
No, I'm all embarrassed. I'm trying to cover my teeth now. My teeth are all over the place. It's like a slum in Brazil, basically, my teeth compared to yours. So.
My wife's Brazilian.
Oh, there you go. I should know what I'm talking about then.
It was like the old 70s English movie stars.
Mm.
None of them had straight teeth.
No.
It was like this whole thing.
Yeah. What are we doing again? Oh, tasting beer. Yeah.
Yeah, beer. Tasting beer while bagging out pity. If there's one thing I'm going to say in terms of this location over pities, though, there is far more birds in this location.
I don't know. Have you listened to the last few? There seems to be a flotilla of birds going past Pete's house as soon as we start recording at the moment. Like, there's birds, there's aeroplanes, there's motorbikes, there's sirens. It's you go from like being out in the middle of suburbia to in the middle of the Bronx, or in the middle of the Bronx Zoo, maybe.
Yeah.
But yes,
I actually haven't heard them when we've been recording. So
no, I don't. And it's just because, you know, I go through and edit afterwards, and all of a sudden I hear there's all these, like, you know, birds flying through the backyard. Like, what are you doing? Some of the airplanes are the annoying one because I don't notice them when we're recording.
No.
But yeah, as soon as I start editing, they come through and they take ages. It's like the circling above his house.
Oh, yeah. Well, to be fair, they probably are.
Yeah.
There's probably a police search.
Well, that's a strange thing. I expect it to be a helicopter or pole air rather than a plane. So.
I always find it amusing when you hear a police helicopter circling around your house at night. You're like, no, there's a drug dealer in the area.
Mm.
someone's heating some shit up.
So the going off right off track now.
Yeah.
First time I ever went to Sydney. I went to a bar over in, it's near Bondi, something like that. I forget what the name of the bar. Oh, Coogee Bay Hotel. Coogee Bay Hotel. And I was watching, it was back in 2003, so watching the World Cup and watching the rugby. And this is bright light shining through the window. What the hell is that? This bright spotlight from nowhere. The next thing is getting bigger and bigger. And I was like, is that a police helicopter? What the hell is that doing? And the spotlight was going up and down the beach and stuff. The next thing is shining on the hotel. And the next thing I looked to my left, there's like search dogs going through, like with police handlers.
Really?
So a full like raid going on in the hotel. I was like, what the hell is going on? I was just trying to watch the All Blacks. I was like, well, so that's what Sydney's like. I'll go up to Brisbane.
To be fair, they were probably looking for an escaped Kiwi.
No, they never caught me.
Another escaped Kiwi.
I was just sat there going, Cooper Petey. Oh, he's Australian.
Bangambalinga. Anyway, we have gotten very off topic.
Yeah, we have.
It's
Petey's fault.
It's always Petey's fault. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. Which is... It's... so I'm confused about this one because it's definitely a bit more boozy. It's got like the booze hit afterwards, but the flavor's so, it's almost like a very delicate flavor, very pillowy.
Yeah.
That's where my old Taste Like Pillows came from back in the day. it's a very soft flavor. It's just very oat creamy. And like I said before, I don't know where I stand on the whole oat cream thing.
Yeah.
As far as it being oat creamy, I guess this is a very it's probably a good oat cream, but I just don't know whether oat creams are for me. And
that's the tough thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you rate a beer that you just don't like the style of?
Well, that's it. And it's the case that the more I have them, the less I'm liking them.
Yep.
When I first had a couple, the exception being actually, the Deeds did one which was in like the black can. I can't remember what it is. And that was exceptional. That was amazing. Done really well. And since I've had that one, I suppose all other oat creams kind of.
Primal Horde.
That's it. Mm. Yes. Primal Horde. Amazing. Yep. I absolutely love that beer. That's like the exception to the rule. So I think I've talked myself into giving this one a 3. So
yeah, I'm kind of there with you. Like in my mind, and this is kind of what happened with that Oatdale, right? In my mind, when they said double scoop oat cream, I was thinking that this is going to be like a milkshake, like it's going to be like Neapolitan ice cream.
Yep.
But I'm not, like, I'm getting a little, like a hint of that creaminess.
Yep.
But a strong bitterness on the end of it as well. And I'm kind of with you, like it's probably a really good example of an oat cream.
Yep.
I just haven't found an oat cream that has blown me away.
Really. Yeah, yeah. I guess you haven't had the Primal Horde at all?
I think I did.
Yeah, okay.
And it was great, but I still picked it apart. And like there was parts of it that I went, there's a slight finish on it that's a little bit, I don't know, it's got a bit of like a medicinal flavor to it or whatever it was. I can't remember, but it was just like, it's 90% there. It's just not 100%.
Yep.
Whereas there's other beers that I've had that I picked up and I've gone, this is hands down 100% done.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm kind of at a 3 really.
Yeah.
It's good. And it'll get you drunk, but I'm not sure that it's exceptional.
No, that's it. Exactly. It's just, I think I'll probably have more issues with style rather than the execution of the beer.
Yeah.
So, each their own. I'm sure some people love the oat creams and
fair play
to them.
Yep. So, have you got any beers you want to try?
I do, actually. Let me get out my encyclopedia of beers I want. A couple have caught my attention. The one I kind of alluded to before, the one's from Revel. They got a Nipah with Willie and the Boatman from Sydney. So I wasn't going to mention that, but we kind of drank one of the beers. And by the time this podcast comes to air, like that, our competition with them is
going
to
be dust. Done.
So I'm sure they would have wiped the floor of us by then. Again, like extension of the Ballistic Bunker project, there's a lot of those sort of beers in the works. Probably the more headline grabbing one is Black Ops with the AWOL range.
Yes, was one I was keen to try.
Yeah, and I believe there's going to be 6 beers in the core range from AWOL. I've got details of 3. One is it's the Insurgent Brett IPA, so that's one of them. Haven Sour Haven Hibiscus Cherry Sour.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but the one I like, being the stout lover I am, is the Rebellion Stout, which is a whiskey barrel aged stout.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm keen to check them out again. It's heading into new territory with what they're doing over there.
So when I popped in, I popped into Black Ops in East Brisbane the other day, and I was asking the guy there about it, and he was telling me that at this point they're doing tours of this particular location.
That's
the only place you can try the beers for now.
Yep.
They said they might then release them afterwards, but because they're in such small quantities, the only way you're really going to try them is if you go and do the tour. But if you get in early and you do the tour, it's with one of the owners, like one of the head brewers, and they're passionate about their beer. So you get an opportunity to be almost one-on-one with
them. Yeah, yeah.
So he said that's probably the most exciting thing about it, the beers and the experience in terms of getting to meet one of the guys. But it's only done at Burley.
That's right.
So there's a day trip there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I've seen them, they've canned some of them, or they've got the cans for them, so I guess eventually they might. But again, probably only available from the tap room as well. So well, hey, worthwhile exploring, looking forward to.
Yep.
Another one I'm looking forward to. Now, this is up there with the longest name for a beer I've seen. Burnley Brewing and Miss Moses and Brunswick Beer Collective Hazelnut Roll Inspired Double Oat Cream Ale.
Sorry, I almost fell asleep
there. Yeah, exactly. It is oak cream ale, so it goes against what I was saying about the one, so maybe I won't like that one. But it's based on the hazelnut roll. It's supposed to be hazelnut. It's biscuity. It's got oats and wheat and a bit of vanilla in there, but it sounds nice and decadent and stuff. Yeah. So another one is, that was interesting came out was Ether Brewing, El Jefe Mexican Lager.
Oh.
So yes. I've been wondering when someone's going to take on a Mexican Lager as part of their core range, and this is coming out. And it's like $13 for a 4-pack as well.
Shit, that's all right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I know. I was like, I'll be keen to have a look at that one. And do we need to add lemon or lime? And that one is fine by itself. Who knows?
Hey, with a 4-pack, you can experiment.
Exactly. Okay, this one's not a beer, but it's something I'm looking forward to that's beer related.
Yep.
It's a PlayStation 4 and 5 game called Brewmaster. You can become the ultimate home brewer in the world's first beer brewing simulator.
That sounds amazing.
And so you can create your own beers in a virtual space.
There is a real danger to this. I'm going to say, I know what my personality's like.
Mm-hmm.
I would buy the game.
Yep.
Play it for a few hours.
Yep.
And then go and spend $1,000 on a brewery setup. And probably end up divorced, but have an amazing brewery in my garage.
Yeah, I'll probably play it for 2 hours and get halfway through a beer, now I'm bored and start playing FIFA again. So, but yeah, I thought that was funny. You can make your own like beer logos and names and stuff, and you get like feedback on how good your beer is. Any aspiring brewers out there? There you go. So, PlayStation 4 game coming out for you.
Yeah. I think we need to. Anyway, this is a separate topic, but I can see a pouring old man beer on the horizon.
In the virtual realm?
No.
The
real realm. Like, do it properly. Well, maybe we can do a collab with one of the brewers out there.
Oh, when I come back from New Zealand, I'll bring some Spates and we'll just relabel that. So that's a pouring old man beer. No one knows what Spates is over here.
Actually, there's a beer out there and I can't remember who made it. Mm. And it made me laugh. It's probably from like 7 or 8 years ago that I saw it.
Yep.
It was called My Wife's Bitter.
Oh, that's Burley. Burley Brewing do that.
Burley, right.
You can still get it. It's called, My Wife's Bitter.
Maybe we need to do a collab with Burley and they'll have My Wife's Bitter and then they'll have Pouring Old Man Beer.
Yes.
Yep. I think we can do that.
What are you looking forward to?
Just one. The Hope Estate Salted Caramel Triple IPA.
Yes, I've seen it pop up even on their Facebook and stuff like that. I'm very curious about that.
Yeah. I went down to the bottle shop the other day and they had it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't in the system yet, so they refused to sell it to me.
What was the point? Was it on the shelf?
No.
What?
I asked him. He's like, I've got it, but it's not in the system, so come back tomorrow.
But you got it just,
I don't know how this works. Just scan it and give me the beer.
Just scan something else and give it to me.
So I've got like $50 cash. Can we exchange something?
Start an in-bottle shop auction for the beer or something.
Yeah, so that's one I want to try out. It's not the usual style for Hope Estate.
No, I suppose that's hitting... they got the mango IPA and that sort of thing. He's heading towards that. Like they seem to have a lot of the sours as well. Yeah. But yeah,
my fear with it is being a triple IPA that it will just be another like triple IPA.
Mm.
Whereas I really want it to be like almost. It should be a stout in my mind. Like with the salted caramel stout
actually sounds amazing. That would be pretty good.
Trademark TM.
Yeah, that could be the Pouring Old Man special beer. Yeah. There you go. Mm.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the match there, but hey.
You know who could do that for us would be our good friend, Richard Libra. He could do something like that for us, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll hit him up for that.
Yeah. We'll bring that up for him. We'll put a four to him. He'll probably tell us to go
start. Yeah, we only take 10% commission on everything.
10? I was going to 15, but I'll tell you. We'll negotiate that later.
Yeah. But yeah, that's about all for me.
Yeah. Anything else you got?
No.
Hmm?
I haven't been anywhere.
That's all right. Well, that's all we got time for today, I think. I've been Russell.
And I've been Wazza.
No one's been Anthony today.
No.
Then we'll catch you next time.
See ya.
See ya.